Supernatural prosperity brings supernatural persecution. And I want you to understand that. Persecution is a promise. Sometimes people think, oh, if you're persecuted, maybe something's wrong with you. What do you mean something's wrong? Was something wrong with Jesus? There are those who say, many people can be wrong. In any rumor, there's an element of truth. What was the element of truth when they accused Jesus of many things? There was no truth. And just because there were so many people against Jesus, didn't mean he did something wrong. Persecution is important. Persecution is necessary. And it will come at different levels in your life if you're going to live the kind of life that God wants you to live according to the Word. It is necessary. Persecution is what makes you different from others. It separates you from the crowd. That's the only way that others are going to know who you're not the same with. If there's something different about you, you will be persecuted. Persecution is the harsh treatment of others to compel them to comply. Persecution is a harsh treatment of others who do not see the same way with you. Persecution is undue punishment of those that are described as dissenting views. Persecution is the hatred of those you do not like. Sometimes we are not persecuted because of who we are, but because of what we believe. Sometimes we're persecuted not because of who we are, but because of the one with whom we are acquainted or connected. Sometimes we are persecuted because we trust in what they cannot trust in. Persecution can come to you because you can do what others cannot do. But be sure of one thing. If you are not like those around you, if they have the power, they will persecute you. Whether they are your siblings or your parents or your children. Persecution is a wrong application of authority for the repression and oppression of others who may have lesser authority or who are overpowered by the summed up authority of a group. So Jesus said, now in this time, you shall receive 100-fold of houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You should expect persecution and never be afraid of it. Believe in it. It's important. And in your Christian walk, the measure of persecution that you face is the measure of training that you have. T.L. Osborne said, the contrary winds drive your roots deeper. You believe that? So Luke's Gospel chapter 21, I'll read to you the words of Jesus concerning the last days. Are you there? From verse number 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what shall Are you there? Chapter 21 in Luke's Gospel. Verse 7. We begin reading from verse 7. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will be there when these things shall come to pass? Verse 8. And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Hallelujah. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. We need to realize that the world is more wicked today than ever before. And if we're going to preach the gospel as it ought to be preached, we will be resisted. Usually it begins with the religious folks. And hear this. He didn't say that the king shall summon us. He said we shall be brought before kings. By who? I want you to look at that portion again from verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Summoned to the synagogues and into prison, from the synagogue to the prison. From the house of God into prison. Why? He says, being brought before kings and rulers. Which means, those in the synagogues would bring you before kings and rulers that you might be delivered into prison. Who were those who condemned Jesus? It wasn't the Romans. It was the Jews. His religious folks. They were the ones who condemned Jesus and delivered him over to the Romans. And even when the Romans would let him go, they said, no! And they said, if you let this man go, you are not a friend of Caesar. They threatened Pilate and forbade him to let Jesus go. Then look at verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents. He didn't say strangers. And brethren. And kinsfolks. And friends. Persecution always begins with those closest to you. Sometimes we think, it's the sinners that persecute us. No, it's not the sinners. Before sinners persecute Christians, they always get the invitation to do so from other Christians. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. You want to know what God thinks about any subject? Consult the Bible. St. John chapter 15. And this is one of the reasons you must watch yourself, so you don't become a persecutor yourself. A lot of times what we suffer in life, we ourselves become guilty of. Chapter 15, verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Did you see that? He said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If you belong to Jesus, you will be persecuted. Remember what we just read in St. Luke's Gospel. He said, parents, brethren, kinsfolk, friends. The Bible says they will isolate you, separate you from their company. If you begin to preach Jesus Christ in that office, there are those who will separate you. And by the way, it will always begin with another religious folk who doesn't like you because he's not bold enough to preach about Jesus. And just because you're talking about Jesus and others are beginning to listen, he'll be the first to condemn you. Because your preaching lets others know something's wrong with you. It reveals his darkness. Verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hated me hated my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. For this cometh to pass, the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Did you see that? Without a cause. Sometimes we're looking for the reason that others despise you. We believe there must be a reason. Why did they ask you to pack out of the house? Or is it there must be a reason? Jesus said that it might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Not because he did something wrong against them. They don't know why. There's a spirit working in them. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Acts in chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13. The same principle they used in Jesus' day, they used in the days of the apostles. Verse 50. Can you all read verse 50? 1, 2, go. Did you see that? Did you see that? The Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. What city? It wasn't a Jewish city. It was a Gentile city. So the Jews who lived there, when they heard Paul preaching to the people, they stirred up. He says, the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. They consulted with the influential people of the society. Now, just because Paul was persecuted didn't mean that he didn't have spiritual authority or understand spiritual authority. It's just like saying Jesus didn't know what to do when the Jews persecuted him. No, persecution is important. It makes you different from your persecutors. So Matthew's Gospel chapter Now, just before we go to St. Matthew's, the same book of Acts, chapter number 8. I want you to look at one verse there. Chapter 8, book of Acts. I remember a woman told us how that because she became a Christian, she was born again. Her sons refused to give her money anymore. For 2 years to that time, they stopped communicating with her because she gave her life to Jesus Christ. So children can persecute their parents. Chapter 8, I'm reading from verse 1. And Saul was concerned unto his death. Talk about Stephen. And at that time, now notice this, says, at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. In other words, the apostles remained in Jerusalem. But there was great persecution, he says, against the church. One of the reasons that several countries have been destroyed is because the church became cold. And could not be persecuted because they complied with everything. So there was nothing to persecute them for. Why would you be persecuted when you're told not to go to church on Sunday and then you don't go? That's all right, cool. So we say, well, we can go on another day. And then the other day they tell you that's not Sunday. Why would you be persecuted? And then when the church becomes cold and cold and cold, it becomes easy for the enemy to destroy such a nation. Ask yourself, where was the church in Liberia when trouble came? Where was the church in Rwanda when trouble came? Whatever happened, where was the church? I was watching a documentary in Rwanda some weeks ago. And some of them at that time were said to have run into a church building. And the pastor accepted them all and said, don't worry, the persecutors will not come in here. So they took solace in the church building. And the persecutors came and slaughtered everybody. Killed them all. Except two people who had been buried under the corpses. Where was the church? Why did they succeed in destroying such nations? What happened to Sierra Leone? Where was the church? How could such terrible genocide have taken place in such nations? Where were the good people? Remember, the only ingredient necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. They did nothing at the time. They comforted themselves and said, don't worry, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. But it did! There are people who are sensitive, very sensitive. They walk into a room and they say, something is smelling around here. Yeah, some of us will say, nothing. But they know something is smelling, something is burning. Something is burning. And then they start checking everywhere. Some of us are too dead. Their senses are dead. So what? They go in there. Something is smelling. They don't know. Maybe a stranger comes and says, it looks like something is burning in this house. They say nothing. And then they sleep. Then they are awakened in the night time with the whole house burnt up. And then they say, where was God? God was in your nose. You just didn't listen to him. There's some of us who are enlightened enough to smell a rat. And you can tell something is here. Every time the church leaders become allies of the government to persecute the church, which you call the inner church, trouble is looming. Trouble is close. That's what it means. And then we say, no, because everything looks the same. When we wake up in the morning, everything still remains the same. But we don't know what's going on. The fire is burning, but we don't understand it. And so we remain quiet. And we keep saying, it will not come here. It will not come here. No, it's not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. Until we say, why did it happen? They stirred up the influential people in the city. Let the Bible show you the way. Let the Word of God guide your mind. When Hitler took thousands and thousands of the Jews and told them they were going somewhere just for questioning. Some others were told it was a new settlement. Nothing was going to happen. They said, don't worry, it's not a problem. We just want to find out something from you. But my neighbor hasn't come back. They took him 3 days ago. Don't worry, they're still questioning them. And so they went. And when they got there, they queued them up. And when they saw so many of them, they said, we are too many. How could anything happen to us? Somebody said, Daddy, what's going to happen? Nothing, son. We are very many here. Nothing, son. All right. So, why are we here? Don't worry. And then they said, take off their clothes. And they took off their clothes. Daddy, what's going on? Nothing, son. Everything will be all right. Don't worry. We'll soon be home. More than 3 million Jews were killed. Some others have said about 6 million of them. And you know what? The world watched in amazement. Nobody did anything. Nobody did anything. They were just watching. Has the world changed? No! It hasn't changed. The people are just as dull as ever. And it is said that those who do not learn from history are condemned to repeat it. When your right is stolen and you cannot see it, you didn't deserve it. Nigeria as a nation came to be because certain men refused to accept the status quo. And they made up their minds that they wanted a nation where they could freely determine their own destiny. We don't have a problem with colonial masters today. We don't have a problem with external aggressors. We have a problem with internal devourers. It is like the destruction of Troy. The Trojan horse. The city was destroyed from within, not from without. And that is the new system of destruction by the enemy today. Nations are not destroyed from outside. They are destroyed from inside. And as long as those who are outside can help to install destructive elements inside, you have again not a government of the people, but a Trojan horse. So it is with many nations today. The question is, what are you going to do about it? When you are awakened to the reality of the presence of a Trojan horse. I'm calling your attention to certain important things because we need to know what persecution is. And we need to know what they bring who are our persecutors. And how do you respond to persecutors and persecution? Let me read something else to you here. St. Matthew's Gospel. For the most part, I'll remind you of something during the Abba Crusade. Until I showed our pastors the videos of the despicable acts of persecutors during that crusade, until I showed them the videos, they didn't know it was as serious as that. We never think that evil is serious enough until we are faced with it. And that's the problem. When you hear a ship with 250 people went right into the water in Bangladesh, it doesn't mean anything to you over here in Africa. You say, "Ooh, Bangladesh, there's evil there. Oh, so sad." And you walk away. You don't know the meaning of it. You heard about Sierra Leone and how a lot of people have either one hand or one leg or something destroyed by their own people. To us, it's just another story. Doesn't mean much. Evil doesn't seem evil enough until we suffer evil. The coldness, the callousness of the hearts of many, and their slowness and unwillingness to respond when the acts of evil come not too far away is really the reason for their destruction. Too slow to act. Too unwilling to act because we think it's far. Something has to be done. And there's a serious problem with our country, our nation in general. I'll tell you what that problem is. That problem is we have never fought for anything. We have no history. Nigeria has no history. We don't know where we came from. We've been told terrible stories and wonderful stories too. There is the history of the Ashanti people. There is the history of the Benin Kingdom. There is the history of the Oyo and so on and so forth. Kanuri Empire. That's what they teach them in school. Sad. Nothing about Nigeria. You studied the wrong. They knew if you studied the history of Nigeria, you would be patriotic and you would keep the fight. And that was the reason they only mentioned it along the way. Nothing to be studied. How many of you ever read books on the history of Nigeria? How Nigeria came to be? You don't know. Most of what you read on newspaper. One army general said this and one politician said this. We've never studied where we came from. And a nation without a root is no nation. Our nation has no soul. It is called the soulless nation. It's a shame. We have a soulless nation. Not even the army will be ready to fight for Nigeria. So what do we have today? People who fight for their ethnic groups. There is no Nigeria. That is not my subject today. But I have a deep feeling for the fact that it is known as a nation by name. It's just a geographical enclave. But all the elements of nationhood are completely absent. Why is it? Because the citizens of that enclave know nothing about their nation. That's the reason. And then there's another problem. Here you do not hear of Africa. You don't think of Africa. When you're out of Nigeria, all other African nations talk about Africa. They have a consciousness of Africa. They belong in a continent. There is only one nation that never thinks about its surroundings and never thinks about its own nation. It is Nigeria. I just want you to understand persecution and how it works. And that it doesn't stop in trying to take one thing from you. Somebody said, give the devil an inch and you'll go a mile. How true. How true. How true. Those of the ages 30 and below in our country today are completely hopeless. They do not think of a future. They look like people that have been bereaved. Something so vital has been taken from them. Hope. There's no hope for them. Meet a young man or a young woman today, age 30 and below, and say, what are your plans? None. They can't think of anything. They've been so brutalized mentally, brutalized psychologically, completely ruined. No hope. And that's the reason for the crime rates that we have today. The church has to be an answer. The church has to be an answer. But to be an answer, we must be willing to face persecution. How can you face persecution? By just doing what is right. You only comply with what is right. You do not comply with what is wrong. Take, for example, the issue we raised yesterday about the television programs. Some of the stations said, we know that what the embassy is doing is wrong, but we can't do anything about it. Nonsense. A station is airing a program. They get a telephone call. And a man on the other side says, I am XYZ of the NBC. Stop that program right now. What time is it? 10 o'clock. And the fellow on the other side in the station says, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, and puts it off. He doesn't know who's calling him. You say, why did you stop it? Well, I was called by an official of the NBC. Who is he? Well, XYZ. You just heard. Are you telling me that you were so programmed as to recognize his voice on telephone? You can't even say, we can't do that. It is absolutely wrong to make a telephone call and order a station to put off whatever it is showing. If you don't agree with what the station is showing, you take them to court. But we have been so brutalized, so beaten down until we have lost sense of our dignity. And we say yes sir to everything. And you say to them, why did you do it? And they say, what did you expect me to do? What a nation. Fear. Fear of losing his job. And he doesn't even get paid. 6 months gone by. He's not been paid. Yet he can't give up the job. What? Just for the security of being known that he's working there. I have a meeting with the man soon. Maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so. I want to talk to the man. You are either a man or a male. You make a choice. You're working in a company. 7 months you've not been paid. What are you waiting for? The reason you are still there is because you are not man enough to make a choice. Satisfied to be introduced as somebody who's working in such and such a place. But you know you're not working. You're just going there. You are being a slave. You are a slave. Not enslaved by your employers. Enslaved by your fears. 7 months you've not been paid. Still you think, if you came out of this place, where do I go? Your fear is your prisoner. Why are you like this? Look at other parts of Africa where they had to face death in the eye. And sometimes you read their history, you're touched. Those who had to fight for their freedom, for their liberty. Because we never fought for our freedom, we don't know what it is. We take our liberty for granted. We don't know what it is. What has made America, America? The fight for liberty has made them value liberty. And that's why they want it for the whole world. We're just looking. Looking. And it's taken away from us. We are so broken. We've lost the power. What is democracy? It is power to the people. You determine. All right. Okay. We don't like what this man has done. Who will put in office? Listen. The truth is, the governor is your servant. The head of state is your servant. The senators are your servants. The representatives are your servants. Until you have that idea, you'll be oppressed. They are your servants. They ought to do what you want them to do. But we have never been taught. We are not aware of our rights. We stand there stupefied by fear. We go to the polling booth. We get there and we say, we can't find our names. And so, well, I can't find my name. So, well, I'll go away. Did you vote? No. Why? I didn't find my name. That alone should have stopped the whole process. And we say, what am I expected to do? And really, what are you expected to do? You turn to the courts and the courts say, they can't do nothing about it. The courts ought to be sacked. We haven't understood the power of our tongue. The power of decision making. The power of the ability to say yes or no when you make a choice. It's called the power of choice. Learn that your destiny is in your hands. You have to know it. You could not register to vote. Why couldn't you register? You are not allowed. So what are you going to do? You just keep quiet. No one makes a demand to say, we want to know those who voted. Nobody's asking for anything. A selected few are ruling the fools. And they laugh in their face. And then tomorrow you say, we don't know what the government is doing. You are the architect of your misfortune as a nation. You make a decision. You didn't go to school for nothing. Wash your brains and make up your mind. I look at those today. They are now from the age 46, 47 to the age 67. I told you about them when we were at Abba Crusade. They moved 2 or 3 years now. Okay. That group of people in our nation, they are the problems of this country. Find out all those who are causing problems in this country. They are in that group, that age group. They are full of fear, full of complaints. They are in one of two extremes. Complaining or stealing. They are a most unpatriotic bunch because they will not fight for what they believe. In the church, they are the persecutors. In the world, they are the persecutors. And they will not fight for anything. Then you have the next group. From age 45 down to age 30. Or maybe 20, 31. That group is the one that's fast losing the sense of patriotism. Because the last group that learned to fight for something, but they're fast losing it. Trying to take example from their fathers, the quiet bunch. From 30 down, hopeless. Nothing. We have to be awakened to reality. Don't say whatever will be. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're losing. You don't know what belongs to you. Praise God. It's in Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 10. From verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. When they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Very important. Acts chapter 13. From verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Can you see that again? When the Jews saw the multitudes, Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the multitudes. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Thou shalt be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Guess what? Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Something about persecutors. Let me read to you. Revelation chapter 11. Sometimes I ask myself a question. And I say, those who connived and collaborated to say, we don't want atmosphere for miracles, what goes through their minds? Let me show you something from the book of Revelation. You remember the prophecy about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation? And verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Talking about the two witnesses of God. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now many years ago, people used to wonder, how could the whole world see this? Well, today, we know that's not a big deal. Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth, and I want you to mark this, the persecutors, And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. They'll be glad sending gifts one to another. They're gone. So persecutors, rejoice. And that's why I don't know if you ever saw that documentary that was presented to CNN by a certain reporter from Sierra Leone, letting us know what happened in Sierra Leone. Terrible, terrible. 9-year-olds were cutting hands and feet of other people. They joined the army, brutalized their own people. Sometimes they ask them to choose. Do you want one hand, or they said short sleeve or long sleeve? So they cut the hand from here or cut it from here. Little babies were maimed. And the young guy that's doing it was glad to do it. You're talking about a little child that watched somebody die. I was listening to a testimony of one of those soldiers who had given his heart to Christ and had become born again. And he said he was leading a group of bandits also. And here's what he did. He said he trained the young ones to become wicked and terrible. How? He said, put someone there and put a gun in the young guy's hand and say, shoot! The young guy will kill that fellow. And then they'll go there and cut that body open and tell this young guy who's just 12 years old to rip the heart out of a human being. Hold it in his hand. And then he said, when that young boy sees that, he will never be afraid of anybody, not be afraid of death. He thinks a human being is an ordinary thing. And then they send the boy out to kill. Now think about it. They were glad to do it as they killed people. They were glad to do it. They were happy to see what they had done. Persecutors don't feel sorry when they do something. No, they rejoice. Okay, now the war is over. But the hands and feet didn't come back. Little children are now going to grow up maimed for life. Just because the church was quiet, they said it wouldn't happen, but it did. I told you some time ago, I said, don't think when they say, oh, there are big preachers in our country, Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, and then you think they're praying for you. They are not praying for you. The things that have happened in these last few years should have let you know they're not praying for you. You would have thought when they would see a program like Atmosphere for Miracles with so many people giving their hearts to Christ, so many things happening, all those crusades and all of that, you would think they'll be glad to say, thank you, Jesus. No, they don't say, thank you, Jesus. The Bible says when they saw the crowds, they were filled with envy. It's the same story today. The same story today.